In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. In the last couple of Fridays, we were talking in the Arabic Bible study about the family, and we talked about the virtuous wife and the virtuous husband. And I thought to continue for the month of December, discussion about family, where the Arabic Bible study and what we say on Sundays will complement each other. And the reason I brought the family into our discussion for December is on the 29th of Kiyak, we receive our Lord Jesus Christ, and He will make Saint Mary and Joseph to be a family. That's what we call it, the Holy Family, which I pray that each family here is also a Holy Family. And I got this point from something very important from the scripture today, from the book of Mark in chapter 10. There is something here that says, "Then Peter began to say to him, 'See, we have left all and followed you.' So Jesus answered and said, 'Assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the age to come eternal life.'" If you heard what you would leave for God and what you will get, you found you are missing something very important here. And you say to God, "This is not fair. We will leave house, brothers, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, lands. What you will get, house, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, lands." What are we missing here? Two things. Two important things. What you are missing is the wife and the father. Could it be that God would be like unjust, unfair? God forbid, He is not. But let me remind you with what happened to Job, so you can really understand the difference now. You remember the story of Job? In Job 1, verses 1 to 3, it describes the initial state of Job. It says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil, and 7 sons and 3 daughters, 7, 3, that's 10, were born to him. Also his possessions were, please remember the numbers here, 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East." And then God permitted Job to go through trials and tribulations because of the envy of Satan. But after he stood for the trial and he passed the test, God rewarded him. The last chapter of the book of Job, in chapter 42, the scripture says, "And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice," please remember, "twice as much as he had before. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep." Remember, it was 7. So when he says twice, 14, perfect. Then he says 6,000 camels, they were 3,000, so are double. 1,000 yoke of oxen, they were 500, so are okay. And 1,000 female donkeys, they were 500, so are fine. Then it says, he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. That makes it 10. He had 10 before. That's not fair. If God says twice, it should be twice. If he had 10 before, God should give him 20 this time. But he did not. Why is that? Because anyone who lives with God never dies. They are alive. They are not dead. And God said it very clear in the book of Matthew and Mark and Luke. For example, in Matthew 22, the Lord said, "But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob'? God is not the God of the dead, but of the living." So there are 10 sons and daughters for Job who are still alive in heaven. And now I give you 10. So when you go to heaven, you will have how many? 20. So God kept his promise. God is never unfair or unjust. So back to our scripture today from the book of Mark in chapter 10. How come God will not give you a father or a wife? Because if your father dies here on earth, you have your heavenly father. And when your wife dies, your wife is alive. You are a family. You will reunite with your wife back again in heaven. And something more important, if you noticed, when God said at the beginning that if you have a mother that you will lose, God will give you mothers. It was a single, now plural, meaning you have a church everywhere you go to that can take care of you. So from that teaching that you will never ever lose your wife and you will be uniting with her, that gives us our very first topic about the Christian family that I would like to share with you today. That is the eternal family. Our eternal family is something that we should start working on from now. You should look at your family as something that you will never lose. You must understand how the family lives here on earth to be ready for being together forever in heaven. There is nothing that can ever stand against the Christian family. There is nothing that can disturb the peace of the Christian family. Nothing can or should break any Christian family. Not even money, as God mentioned in the scripture today. It will never buy you happiness. It will not take away from you happiness. If you have too much money, that should not be the reason why you are happy. If you don't have money, that should not be the reason why are you sad. It should not make any difference. Money is nothing compared to what you would have in your mind toward your wife and your children as one united eternal family that starts right here on earth. In family, we also have fun and great time and go through so much together. There was a servant who one day went to ask the children, and he said, "I'm going to give every one of you $1,000. $1,000 if you quit loving your dad and mom. If you quit loving your dad and mom." So of course nobody answered, and everybody was like silent, until one of the little children spoke and he said, "How much would you give me if I quit loving my sister?" So that's something different. But of course you can tell from the question that he loves his dad and mom so much, and I'm sure he would love his sister as well, but it's just how the fun in the family is. And even when they bug each other, they do not even mean it. So the healthy family is always a united family. It works together no matter what happened. And just simple proof, if anyone stand against a member of your family, you find the whole family stood together against that person from the outside. As is always say, that there is nothing unites like a common enemy. Of course, that may be true, but the kind of unity only lasts until the battle is over. But as a family, the true unity is a family unity. So the healthy family is always united. It works together toward a common purpose. It shares certain characteristics. What is it? Please listen to what St. Paul said in the Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. He said, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." So anytime you see the word "therefore," you should ask yourself, why is it there for? Meaning there is a reason to have a statement like that. St. Paul was telling the Ephesians that they are part of the household of God, the church of God. When you get married and the Holy Spirit unites you, you and your wife, you become a church. You become a fellow citizen of the heavenly kingdom. So please keep this in mind. You, as a husband, for example, you wear the garment, which what we call it the burnous or the priest, to remind the husband that he is the priest of his own church at home, and with crowns in each one of them to remind the two of them they are king and queen in their own kingdom. And when they put the ring, that means they are united forever, because the ring does not have any beginning or ending. That means your life that started now as a married husband and wife should and will always last forever. How can I make it last? I will mention five quick points that I please ask you to think about it seriously and keep it in your mind. Number one, you should know your responsibilities. For any family to function and to function well, it takes what we call it in business outside, teamwork. Teamwork. Within the family, there are many things to be done, and it goes much better when we share these different responsibilities. In a family, it may be someone's job to cut the grass, wash the cars, clean the bathrooms, pay the bills, empty the trash cans, buy groceries, sweep the floor, take out the trash, vacuum the house, do the dishes, wash the clothes, set the table, do whatever. And even little ones, our children, from young age, we can teach them to give us a hand. Can you hand me this dish or plate or what have you? I remember a story about a little girl that her father was teaching her how to tie her shoes, and he thought that she would be happy. Then after some time she was crying, and I told her, honey, why are you crying? She said, because now I have to do it all by myself, all the time, the rest of my life. He told her, that's family. Every one of us is doing something to make the family happy. Every member of the family had something to make the whole family happy. We teach them, they feel that they are part of the family. They have a responsibility. Teach everybody. And when you teach them that they are making a difference in the family. That means they will receive reward from God, not from me. If they receive a reward from you, and you keep promising your kids by rewards and money, and I'm going to give you that much if you do so and so, one time will come when you will ask and you will not get it. I remember a true story in Egypt that a father, he said, forget the teaching of the church, I'm going to teach my kids my way. Anytime they do, I give them money. Okay, Habiba, I'm going to give you 10 pounds for doing whatever. I'm going to give you 20, 5, what have you. And then one day he got sick and he fell on the ground. And he asked his son to give him a hand. He said, Dad, how much would you give me for it? And he said, I am your father, what do you mean? I am here dying on the floor. He said, I'm sorry. You taught me that anything I do, you pay for it. If you give me money, I'm willing, be more than happy to get you above the ground, but now I can't. And he left his father to die on the ground. So when we teach our kids, we teach the reward, the heavenly reward, not a reward they will receive from here on earth. St. Paul, in the first epistle of Thessalonians, in chapter 5, in verses 12 to 14, he is teaching us something very important, that how much we should work all together. He said, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. And that brings my second point. When he says labor, the word labor meaning that you work hard, you mean it toil, you strive, you struggle, you grow weary in doing things. So being a leader of a family as a father or a mother, don't expect to be easy, and you will relax. If you want to relax, you will lose your crown in heaven. Don't give this one so easily. Keep working with the children. Don't give up so quickly when they ask to go somewhere that you do not know. Bad place at night, or watching bad movies, or the internet. Hold on to your teaching and be strong. Kids are very smart. They try to give you a hard time, so you give up. Say, okay, that's it. Don't say that's it. Don't give up. Ask and keep asking and get tired and labor, because you have in mind the eternity of your son as well as yours. Don't let it go so easy. The third point in United Eternal Family is the respect. When we respect one another, God will also reward you. Remember what St. Paul said to teach the husbands and wives about how they love and should love each other. In Ephesians 5:33, he said, "Let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." Love your own wife as yourself. Did you ever see anyone who hates himself? If you hate yourself, you will never even take care of yourself, meaning you will die soon. So if you take care of yourself and you love yourself, you must love your wife as yourself. Remember that the two of you are one. Number four, you must correct any wrong behavior. One of the responsibilities of the family leaders is to correct the wrong behavior, keeping in mind the love and tender mercies for the family members and how you can approach your family members to teach them the discipline and how to teach them there is something wrong that has been done and make sure that no one will do it again in the right way. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11, St. Paul said, "Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." Please, it is very important you hear this verse. Let me read it again. "Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present." Right now it could be difficult when you chasten and discipline someone. I know it is, because people are not so easy to accept it. But it will take some time to understand your point. So keep working with your family. He said, "But it is painful." Then why should I do it? Here is why. "Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." You train your family and your children to be righteous people from now. It is the way it should be and the way we should live. We care about each other. We care about the well-being of each other, the happiness of each other, the sickness of each other. There was a funny story that I read some time ago about someone who was called into his doctor's office, and the doctor sat him down and said, "I have got some good news and bad news. Which do you want first?" The patient said, "Please give me the good news first." So the doctor said, "Okay, your tests are back and you only have 3 days to live." Then the patient said, "That's good news?" He said, "Yes." So he said, "How about the bad news?" "The bad news is the receptionist was trying to get hold of you for the last 2 days. That means you have only 2 days to live." No, for us, we care, we talk, we communicate. As I mentioned about communication last week, we do not wait until somebody dies in our hand. We work together as a family. If we see something wrong, we say it is wrong. Something good, we can appreciate it and we can encourage those to do the good things. Which brings my last point. To be eternal united family, you must be kind to each other and rely on God always, always. There is nothing that you should ever do without God, nothing. You should never ever stop your family from going to church or confession for any reason. Even if you go for social activity with people outside, not to conflict with the church activities. We have prayers. Some people feel the church is only Sunday, the liturgy. It is not. Liturgy is the top, the utmost service in the church, and should always be. But there is more activities for fellowship. You have the church open the whole week. the whole week. So why not we come and share all English and Arabic Bible studies, the liturgies on Wednesdays, the tasbihah on Saturday. We should come and share with all of that. You only come Sunday and judge what you see and hear on Sunday. That's not the way it should be. You bring your family all the time. All the time. And when you do that, you'll find even your kids learning from you how to speak about God and how to share with you even the fun when you speak with God. I remember also a funny story that I read about a man who said that I don't exactly look like Atlas or perhaps Samson, but it happened one day that my little girl was sitting on my lap and she was facing a mirror, and after gazing intently at her reflection for some minutes, she said, "Dad, did God make you?" So the father said, "Sure he did." Then she stopped for a minute and came back and answered, "Dad, did God also make me?" So her dad said, "Of course he also did." Then she answered back and said, "Do you know, Dad, it seems to me that God is doing much better work lately. He created me much prettier than you." Family is all good and loving and joyful family. Cannot be a good family if you have sadness at home and anger and the struggle. It's all fun to be a family. You have someone to talk to when you go home, someone to share with you when you are by yourself. That's what family is all about. Even with God, to be God's family, He talks to you all the time. The scripture that you hear, the sermons that you hear every day and every minute, that is communication that we talked about. That's the love and joy of God for us. We pray together, we read the Bible together, we establish what we call the family altar together. That's a family. We do not wait for someone to say a bad word and say, "Here it is," and I start turning my life upside down because of one word or one phrase or one action. I will conclude to summarize all of this by the scripture from the first epistle of Thessalonians in chapter 5, verses 15 to 18, when St. Paul said, "See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." As you can see, it's all greeting, all praying together, praying for each other, standing together to be blameless before God. That's what family is all about. And glory be to God now and forever and ever. Amen.